Welcome to Real Career Talk. I am your host, Phil Burkett. The monthly interview brought to you by the network where we spend 30 minutes having informal discussions around career hot topics that include our 2021 talent development pillars, including adaptability, three-tier discussion around mentoring, sponsorship, and advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships for you, your career, and your organization. I'm going to take the next few moments and talk about a few of those briefly. Let's talk about adaptability. Let's start first talking about adaptability. If you have downloaded our vidcast with Sherry and Willis from last month, she talks about adaptability. And one of the interesting things that came up in our conversation was that when you think of adaptability, there is a misconception that I have to change who I am. And when you think about her definition, that's the ability to adapt is not really changing who you are from a core perspective. However, being able to adjust to the different cultures, adjust to new bosses, adjust to new objectives, new group norms, customer needs, job functions, roles. What's important is how you adapt. And it's an interesting scenario she presented for us. She said, well, listen, when you are talking to your mom and you can think of talking to your mom in one way versus talking to your business leader in another, that is a form of adjustment. That's a form of adaptability. Think about talking to your family versus talking in business. It's kind of funny. My kids call me a chameleon, but think about a chameleon. Chameleon does change, but they eventually go back to that green lizard, shall we say. And they change constantly to meet whatever the dangers might be in front of them, the shifts in environment, the shifts, all based on need for survival, need to be effective and successful in that environment. Well, still doesn't change that they're still a lizard, green little lizard running around, right? Say, you know, interesting scenario or analogy, but think about that. If I am being able to adjust or being able to adapt, it makes me more equipped, shows you out to others to be showing versatility, shall we say. You're able to have that open mind. I think I gave the scenario where years ago in my call center, the objectives of the business changed from that business objectives that was needed, getting the money, doing the different things as far as that is concerned, to a sales environment. And a lot of people couldn't change. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in a different pillar. But being able to adjust, being able to show adaptability shows that you have that open mind, shows that you're able to adjust to anything thrown your way. Can you do what's given to you? But then leaders want that and sometimes more. Can I put Phil in this role and can they be ready to grow in the business, grow in the organization? It's interesting when you think about adjusting and adaptability in the form of being able to evolve with the business needs, being able to adjust, being able to pivot, I believe is the word that I used with Sherrion. So when you are adaptable, it gives you more opportunities, to grow. I believe we heard you're able to grow vertically and horizontally. All right. Interesting article that Forbes had talking about adaptability or lack thereof. Years ago in 1955, the Fortune 500 companies that were listed in Fortune 500, only 61 of those companies remained in 2014. That equated to about 12%. Think about that. That means 88% of the companies from 1955 to 2014 either went bankrupt, merged, or they dropped out of the rankings of what equates to Fortune 500 status. They dropped out of those rankings because they didn't have the earnings to meet that need, that qualification. Think about that, though. Fortune 500, if you make the Fortune 500 list, that isn't by chance. You were considered to be the creme de la creme. You were the cream of the crop. Only 1% of the companies overall make that list. They were the best at what they did. 88% of them either went bankrupt, merged, or dropped out of the rankings altogether. Another Forbes article listed that 50 years ago, life expectancy of a company was 75 years. Now, that life expectancy for a company is 15 years and it's declining. This was before COVID. Why did they fail? Is it because only that they're not able to adjust, they're not able to adapt? Let's talk about it this year. I'm looking forward to hearing what our leaders have to say about that and find solutions for these alarming trends that we have out there. I want to move on and talk about mentoring, sponsorship, and advocacy. Let's talk about mentoring. When you think about mentor, what is it? They're an experienced, trusted advisor. You think about that definition, that's someone that you probably have built a relationship with. You've shared your positives as well as your negatives, your areas of opportunity as well as your successes. In any situation, any business, and sometimes just in life, that's a mentor, someone that you're confidant. They're not your associate. They're not your friend. They're your confidant a little bit more when you think about mentoring. Sponsorship, on the other hand, when you think about sponsorship, having a sponsor in business, when you think about sponsorship in a workplace or in a community, they can pay, they can promote you attending, getting involved in events, or they might send you to some type of convention that would support your development around your skills and your competencies that you're trying to build. A sponsor might be a financial investment. It might be time investment, any other kind of investment. Whatever it is, it's about sponsoring you, you as a person, helping you grow, challenging you, and developing you to be the best. Alison Zimmerman actually stated, sponsorship, it's not who you know, but who knows you. We often say in networking that, you know, it's who you know. Well, in sponsorship, it's a little different. Not who you know, but who knows you. Let's talk about advocacy. I hope that I'm giving you differences in each one of these terms. We talked about mentoring, we've talked about sponsoring, and now I want to talk about advocacy. And when you think about that advocate, that's a person who is publicly supporting or recommending you for a cause, for a business venture, for a job. An advocate is often that connector, the one that connects people. Middleman, someone that can be, it might be amongst your business associates. And here's the thing, if your strengths and your areas of expertise are aligned to what is needed, whether you're in the room, whether you're in that meeting, whether you're a part of that conversation, they will advocate for you being the right person for that job. When you think about an advocate, that so when you're not there, they're supporting you. They're promoting you. Understanding the difference between a mentor, a sponsor, and an advocacy will get you further in your career, get you further in business as well. Sylvia Hewlett actually wrote in her article, it's kind of funny, you know, forget a mentor, find a sponsor. And what they talked about and what she talked about, Sylvia, she said, Brother J's actually attract sponsors by delivering. If you can find, and if you think about our podcast from last year, a lot of the vice presidents and the officials in our business said the same thing. Hey, when I go to these networking events, I know that you're probably there to see who's there, who can I can connect with. But it isn't about, for them, from their perspective, it's not about what you're looking for, is what you can bring to the table. I believe Anthony Tuggle actually said it. Sometimes when you go to these events, you might miss my car, you might lose my car, but it isn't about that. It's about what can you bring to the table, not just what I can offer you. When you think about advocacy, they want to support you, they want to promote you, but what makes it great in relationship when you have that advocate for you is that you're looking for someone, or they're looking for someone, excuse me, they're looking for someone that can bring their, build their business, build their organization, develop and move their people further along in their path of growth. Okay. We have the networking group. We have our mentoring program with group mentoring circles, as well as one-on-one mentoring this year. We hope that you take advantage of those circles and those groups. Let's talk about building relationships. John Rockefeller, in my leadership development studies, one of the first things that I found to be quite interesting was John Rockefeller, who actually had a quote out there. I will pay more for the ability to deal with people than any other ability under the sun. When you think about building relationships, I just have to tell you and be frank, if you're looking to complete objectives, if you're looking to reach goals, if you're looking for your organization to bolster your revenue, you're going to need to learn to build relationships. It's one of the tenets when you think about the extraordinary leadership model where here at AT&T, everything involving leadership, that extraordinary leadership model was built, the fabrics in that model was built in everything involving leadership. All things leadership involve that. One of the tenets talks about interpersonal skills and that model when you can, when you're thinking about building relationships, think about interpersonal skills, think about personal development as well. They all tie together. It's important in life. When you're thinking about building relationships, it's important in life. It makes you feel safe. It helps you. It relieves stress when you know that you have others that are working with you, when you know that you've done the right thing as far as that person, that customer, that client, that employee is concerned. In business, it helps you attain new clients. It helps you retain current clients. It helps you maintain and even build your brand. As I was researching this topic, I was looking at, you know, I could talk about building. If you look at our podcast from last year, I talked about building relationships. There's a course that talks about building relationships and versatility, understanding that communication styles plays a role in that. Understanding also there's some common denominators in a lot of leadership courses when it comes to building relationships. And they're important. Those denominators might be being authentic, might involve trust. It's interesting. Small Business Trends identifies 10 ways to build lasting relationships. Communication styles are definitely important. Knowing how that person is communicating, also as well as how you like to communicate. How do you communicate when you're in conflict? How do you communicate in normal circumstances? Go beyond that in regards to building relationships. And then you can think about trust and how that plays a role. Coles and Posner's back in the 90s said there's 10 attributes that everyone wants in a leader. And you're talking about, if you're thinking about being in leadership, growing into that next leader, that next new leader that we have in business, have to be able to build relationships. And Coles and Posner talked about the number one attribute. A lot of people like to say, I need my leader to be competent. I need my leader to be knowledgeable. I need them to be dependable. All of those were in the top 10. But the number one that really impacted that employee, that impacted that individual, that customer, was honesty. And it kind of tied into the small business trends 10. The very first one was being authentic. Seems simple enough, right? It seems simple enough, being authentic, be who you are. Authentic connections based on your personality, based on your beliefs, based on your values. We'll probably never, we'll have a hard time sometimes finding that our point of views will be similar. But if I can find that person that has similar beliefs, similar core values, it can accelerate our relationships to being effective. Why? It's because it's about being authentic. When you're thinking about authenticity, goes along with being honest, being straightforward, some of the other attributes that was on that list as well. In Kosey's and Posner's poll in the 90s, identifying another thing that they talked about in the small business trends poll, they talked about identifying shared goals and values. Now, I said just a moment ago, we might not ever share the same views and perspectives. However, our values to be common. You think about crucial conversations, speed of trust, and a lot of those courses that talks about communicating and building relationships in an effective way starts with that common ground, right? The common ground. And some of those cores matter. Those core values matter. So Small Business Trend talks about we might not ever share the same point of view towards business needs and perspectives, but those core values matter, and that will help us grow and navigate through those challenges, navigate through those tough moments, those critical deadlines when we can see the core values are similar. Warren Buffett is a great example. He talked about a deal in the speed of trust. He talked about a deal that, a real estate deal, that actually he said, he stated by his own words, maybe three times normally to get that done. How long the duration of that deal might have been, three times the length as opposed to the one that he was dealing with, the individual across from him. It only took him 30 days. And he said, they said, what caused you to complete that deal in less than 30 days, something that takes normally three times the length? He said, well, I knew that guy from the other side of the table was going to have the same values as I. I knew that I could trust him and he can trust me. There's that authenticity. There's that core that builds relationships that last. Builds the relationships that last. Okay? Now, another thing that's very important when you're talking about building relationships, we talked about it in one of our other classes, talking about building commitment, understanding the importance and the significance of commitment. Leaders sometimes have to know that it's important to be not just authentic, but vulnerable. Okay, and vulnerable is a part of being authentic. And I go back to my leadership class that talks about the iceberg. And if I was to draw an iceberg on one of my boards in here, the iceberg on the internet is, you know, hundreds of yards high. However, it was a mile deep. And it was symbolic to relationships. Oftentimes, people see surface all the time, every day. Sometimes people want to see more than surface. Therein lies that vulnerability. I have no problem in sharing my perspective, my view, my feelings. Hey, I'm a little disappointed in that. Not saying that you're going to share the whole kitchen sink or whatever that saying is, not, you know, but as a matter of fact, in small business trends, they say be careful there. You know who you're sharing with and why, and that is important. In other classes, they would say that in that sharing, it's important to getting you and that other person or that team to that next level, not just sharing willy-nilly. Can I say that? Willy-nilly, right? But it's about sharing and being authentic. having no problem with being open when those times are difficult, when you're challenged, when you're dealing with change, where often there's an unknown on the other side of that roadmap, right? There's unknown there. I can be authentic to you. There are things that can help you when you're talking about building relationships, and we're going to tackle those as we go into our discussions this year. The final thing that I want to talk about is continuous learning. Continuous learning, known in some realms as constant learning. What is continuous learning? It is the concept of always expanding your knowledge so that you may gain new skills and expertise, right? The LinkedIn article says that they described continuous learning as your self-motivated persistence to gain knowledge. Self-motivated persistence to gain knowledge. One of the most effective ways with dealing with change is continuous learning. Think about where we are today. Where with COVID, everything is virtual. Everything is going virtual. You know, primarily everyone's working virtually. And with that said, knowledge is there. Knowledge is there to be had. Knowledge is literally at our fingertips. When you think about the learning, it was this continuous learning that we're talking about. It is a part of your personal and professional development. If you are constantly finding ways to learn, to grow and develop, there's a good chance, actually, your growth and your skills that you already have will diminish. And not that you'll become bad at it, but in a sense, you could become bad at it. Why? Because your skills might become stagnant and might limit you from reaching your full potential. There are benefits to continuous learning. I'll offer you the book, Who Moved My Cheese? When you think of the article, that particular book that talks about there's two little characters and they've had some success. And then they, one became settled and didn't move any further. The other one moved on. You see it in movies. Look at the movie Hoosiers with, oh my goodness. Then I can't think of any of you. Anyway, in the movie Hoosiers, they became settled in this little small town, this basketball team, and the officials, everyone saw a little success. Anybody seen that movie Hoosiers? Anybody seen it? They experienced success. They made it to the playoffs. And it seemed like everyone was excited about that. The person on their team was an all-star. But the new person in town, the new coach that was brought in, changed everyone, changed everything. Removed all of the norms that was considered great to them in the past, removed it, made everyone uncomfortable. And that's the one thing you have to understand about continuous learning. It will make you uncomfortable. But with that movie, I won't tell the story, the whole story, but check out the rest of it. Sometimes when it comes to continuous learning, it is about getting uncomfortable. What the norm is needs to be disrupted. You need to break that up, right? So there are some benefits to continuous learning. Let's talk about it. I think this is another article that talks about continuous learning. Remaining relevant. It's obvious that if you are constantly growing, staying up to date with your skills, necessary skills that help you remain relevant, that's in order to function effectively in this ever-changing environment that we have. In this changing environment, you have to learn, you have to grow, and you have to expand. Another benefit to continuous learning is that it's a confidence builder. In my presentations course, people came in, they want a simple solution. Phil, what do I got to do to get rid of my nerves? How do I get rid of my nerves? And I told them, I said, well, if you get rid of your nerves, you're no longer living. So how do I manage that? And there's the story of the runner the distance runner, the racer, who actually was at the starting line and defaulted twice. And she said, how do I deal with these big, giant bats in my stomach? You have to manage that energy. The whole point of that is that's that uncomfortable feeling you have when you're in unknown, when you're in new. And it's about growing and developing and expanding. Think about it. There's a sense of accomplishment that you can that can be had, which could turn into capabilities, right? That sense of accomplishment now boosts your capabilities. It expands that comfort zone. You'll be amazed at the presenters that came in nervous. And by the end of the class, they had expanded their comfort zone and said, hey, I think I can do this, right? Think about the point of changing of your perspective when you're continuously learning. Think about continuous learning that in this manner, it opens up your mind and it can change your attitude. It shifts your angles on what's present. There is a, when I say change your perspective, a leader in a business once told me, Phil, since we were born, when we were first born, it was an empty canvas. And from the time we were born, all we heard was, no, can't do that. No, that's not possible. It's not going to happen. No, think of something else. But to the point, it became this little restricted circle. You think about continuous learning, consider that circle expanding, your perspectives now becoming more, right? Your angles and how you view things, it shifts, okay, on what's actually possible, what's present, right? The more you learn, the better you will see those different perspectives, giving you a deeper understanding. We here at the network, we have a skills development program, which consists of business leadership and technical learning paths. We also, again, don't forget the mentoring program with group mentoring circles as well. I look forward to seeing you in our next VidCast. Stay powerful.